Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on not only Amazon Renegade Radio. I almost said something else. Renegade Radio, also Steel Waves Radio. We're on two radio stations now, Dakota. We also iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Sauron, if you're in India, which we have quite a few people listen to there. YouTube, which is the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And she's behind the veil of her pretty picture again this week. Hannah Bach.
Hey, guys.
Now, you said that Grandpa might be making a cameo because he loves our guests. Is that maybe going to happen?
No. Here's a funny story. So okay. I found these calm shots to calm you down because he's been really anxious lately. And yeah. I gave him one this morning, and it made him the opposite. So he's been like trampling around the house, kind of like Mommy Dearest, just not in a good mood.
Wire hanger.
So no cameos for Papa.
Okay, so he's like on speed now. He's like really like bouncing off the walls and
not that friendly.
Okay, I know Grandpa's a big fan of our guest today. We haven't had her on in a criminally long time, and I try to figure out why. I figured it out because when we did have you on, we had you on like 3 times in like 3 months.
Yeah.
And like kind of, I was like, well, let's wait a little while. I didn't think that we were going to wait a year and a half, but
yeah, I know it's been a while. Oh my god.
But we she's here, we love her. She's newly tan, and she's been lounging by the pool waiting out this corona. It's Dakota the Bearded Lady.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be back.
Not only is doing her thing, but she also is hosting a true crime podcast now. What is the name of that?
So my true crime podcast is called Chardonnay True Crime. That's like Chardonnay, but like Chardonnay True Crime.
I got to check that out.
It's a lot of fun. And it's spelled with 3 A's. It's Chardonnay.
I'm going to subscribe to that right now, and we're going to talk true crime and everything else, and beards, and which
awesome.
Ironically, I shaved mine off, so this is.
I know. I've never seen you without a beard before. It's kind of crazy.
And yes, good.
And bad. You look great. You look great as always.
Oh, stop! Mm-hmm. But and now I'm blushing. But well, should I grow back or not?
I mean, I like you like this, but I also like your beard. So I mean, it's just personal preference, I guess. You know, you know, I always say this to people, like. Especially when it comes to like women who come up to me and like say that they can grow a beard. But like, I always say this to like anybody who asks, like, should I grow a beard? I'm like, look, it's a process and you know, there's going to be awkward stages of it. And you know, it's like a whole thing you have to take care of. It's like a pet on your face. Like you have to take care of it, you know? So it's just like, do you want to put in the effort or do you want to keep it clean shaven? You know?
Well. Although with my beard, you see, I put in no effort, but should I grow the beard or not?
I think you should personally grow it for the holidays. You know, you did the Santa thing. See how many ladies will sit on your lap.
No, we've already got Santa. Santa already comes to the show. He's all ready for next year. We have Santa come on every year.
Awesome. I mean, just in general. Just in general.
If I showed up like Santa and Santa was there, it wouldn't be right.
The battle of the Santas.
Yeah.
That would be great.
There's nothing
wrong with that.
Okay. Well,
the more Santas, the better.
Mm-hmm.
More presents.
Exactly.
Hannah's like, yeah, bring me more presents.
Right?
I know you, Hannah. I know you're in it for the presents. Do.
You know that.
So before we get started, we're already getting started. We do our sponsors real quick. We got Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, you get 2 free books or 1 free book and 2 Audible originals. I got a couple books. I actually went to Vegas, listened to a couple books on the way there. It's great. The Audible originals are terrific, and they've got everything from Shakespeare to Smut. They've got books about Sideshow. They got books about everything. They got a lot of true crime books.
Yeah, actually, I just downloaded one the other day. So my favorite podcast, they wrote a book and I found it on Audible last night, or like two nights ago or something, and I was scrolling through my app seeing what's new, because Audible actually just did this awesome thing where you can actually buy the books through the app now instead of having to do it on Amazon and then going back to your Audible.
That's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So they had an NFTs. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
No. Audible is honestly one of my favorite apps that I have. Like, I clear my phone out every now and then, just like apps that I haven't used in a few months or so. And Audible is always one that makes the cut because I just love it so much and I use it every day.
So what's the true crime book?
So it's a Last Book on the Left.
Okay.
Yeah, so the podcast is Last Podcast on the Left, and it's a true crime, horror-y kind of podcast. And the book is Last Book on the Left. And they, like, write about a handful of the, like, most notorious serial killers that they've talked about on their show. Mm-hmm. So far, I'm only up to, like, Richard Chase right now. But it's really interesting, and they bring up a really good point in it that I've thought about for years when it came to Richard Chase, is that he was likely a sufferer of Cotard syndrome, which is the mental affliction that makes you believe that you are a walking corpse. So people who have this literally either, there's three stages. One stage is you believe that you are dead. There's a stage where you believe that people around you are dead. And then there's a stage where you believe that you're missing like vital body pieces. And like, it's really an interesting and like sad affliction. Mm-hmm. But I've always been of the belief that Richard Chase has suffered from that. And that's partially why he did the things that he did.
Okay. Well, that's sounds interesting. You get that or any other book, as I said, they got anything from Shakespeare and Smut. Also, Doomy's Home Cooking, still going. Have they opened the restaurant, Hannah, for
I haven't dining? Heard anything. No, not yet.
Well, I know you can get takeout, and I know you should support your restaurant business because
absolutely,
thread, and especially Doomy's Home Cooking. The best vegan food you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Doomy's dish, Dakota?
Ooh, they make these really good chicken strips. Really good. I like really simple things sometimes. Like most of the time I like, you know, just something super simple, and like their chicken strips are like just such a like a comfort food for me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vegan chicken strips are the greatest. Their nachos were voted one of the best 10 best nachos by the LA Weekly. 1253 Vine Street, if you're in L.A. They've got a restaurant called Recity, one in Toronto, Canada. If you're in L.A., go to Doomy's Home Cooking. It's the best vegan food you ever had. Also, we're sponsored by Hustler Hollywood.
Woo!
What's your favorite fiber, Dakota? I never asked you that.
I really like the Wands. I'm a big fan of the Wands, but actually the Hustler store is the only place that I can get my favorite perfume, which is funny. Well, body spray that I wear, but it's really
Funny. And what is that?
So it's this like frosted cupcake scent body spray. I'm sure you've smelled that on me before. Whenever I walk around, I smell like sugar. Like that's
always smell like frosted cupcakes. So
yeah,
you get 20% off that. We've got a code that will be on up on the show and on our social media, Dark Mark Show, and also we're sponsored by Spy Associates. So you want to see who's spying on you, you want to spy on other people, get some James Bond stuff. 20% off every order over $249. Also,
Dark Mark Mask.
Get your Dark Mark Show merchandise at tpublic.com/user/DMS. Actually, my friend just got, I'm going to take this off. That's the Dark Mark Show mask. We've also got Hannah Bach mask. I got one around here somewhere. And also t-shirts, hoodies. They're selling so well. They were supposed to have a sale this month, but they're selling so well, there's no sale. But that's good because the artist gets the full percentage. So somebody, Hannah's friend just got a Hannah Bach box sticker. Right, Hannah?
Yeah, he bought that and a t-shirt.
Okay, and I saw that on Instagram. Also, my friend, she has a newborn baby. I sent her a Dark Mark Show onesie, so hopefully we'll have pictures of that soon.
That's adorable.
So Dakota, do you miss performing as much as I do? It's killing me.
Oh my God, I miss it so much. It's insane. Like I was cleaning my room and I came upon like a bunch of my like sideshow stuff just like kind of pushed to the side. That actually made me really sad that it was just like kind of shoved to the side of everything. I was just like, oh my God, like I don't know when I'm gonna be performing again. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So I like organized it with like all my burlesque stuff, you know. So it's organized and it's ready for me, but it's just kind of sad and sitting there doing it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, like we're performers and like the audience is like just such a big part of us, and especially for like, you know, us, we've been doing it for a while and like we were doing it so much that like when we're not doing it, it's like I don't even remember what it feels like to be in front of an audience right now.
Yeah.
It's I don't like it.
Have you done any Zoom sideshow shows or?
I did one. It wasn't like a show. It was for like a YouTube thing. It was for Mysterion from The Sentimentalists. So I
Okay.
did one for him, but I haven't really tried to do many others just because like I don't know. I feel like I miss it, but also this is like a good break for me because I did it for 6 years straight and
Right.
I didn't really ever take breaks. Like if there was a date that I had free, I was trying to like book it. So this has been like a nice little like
Well, you're telling me
break.
that you actually, I guess, subconsciously caused this whole crisis.
I don't know why everybody says that. No, okay. So what happened was I was feeling overwhelmed before all of this started. Like real life was just kind of crazy. And like my show life was kind of crazy. And just everything was like just a lot of pressure. I'm a very anxious person. I don't come off as anxious, but I have a lot of anxiety. So I was sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, I'm so behind on so much stuff. Like, if everything could just stop for like a few weeks, I would be able to get caught up and it would be so much better. And so, you know, I was thinking that, and then quarantine happened like 2 months later, and I was like, what? And then, and you know, at first in quarantine, I was just kind of like feeling sad about it and like laying around not doing much for like a good week or two. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, this is exactly what I needed this time to like get my crap together. And so I started getting it together, and honestly I feel like I'm a lot healthier than I was when quarantine, like before quarantine started.
Say, you know that week that you just kind of laid around, did nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been my last 3 months, basically. I haven't really done a lot. But so you put it out to the universe, and the universe responded.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
Which,
the universe and I are tight like that. We're good.
although I think the universe maybe overreacted a little bit, and
Yeah, I think so too. The universe tends to do that on occasion though. I'm a Capricorn, so like when I say like stop, the universe is like, "Oh, okay." Screeching halt, and I'm like, "Wait, not like this."
is that the Capricorns have the power? I have no idea. My sister's a Capricorn. I didn't
Oh, we're
think
very
she had that
powerful.
power.
Yeah, we're very, very powerful.
Okay, I don't. I'm a Scorpio. What does that mean?
You tried. I'm kidding.
What?
I said you tried.
Right, okay. Well.
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. No, Scorpio is not a bad thing. I mean, no zodiac sign is a bad thing. You know, except for maybe like Gemini, but no, I'm kidding.
Anna, what are you again?
Aquarius. Yeah.
Nobody ever has anything bad to say about Aquarius. It's just kind
Yeah.
of there. Yeah.
Aquarius are delightful.
Yeah.
My sister's a Gemini, so I just like to tease her, so
Well, because they have
she sees me.
the dual personality thing, and
Yeah.
so I don't know. I don't know what to think about I don't know what to think about the mystic arts, because when this happened, I was like, wait a second. And Hannah, I'll tell you, we had two psychics on our show just before this that gave us readings.
Yeah.
Said nothing about that there'd be a quarantine in a month.
Yeah.
Like
I
I
mean,
had a crush on a girl. I was like, you think something's gonna happen in the next couple of months? And they're like, yeah, I think so. Keep on her. And they're like, instead of, well, the world's gonna shut down in 3 weeks, so you might wanna get.
yeah.
So I
I
don't
don't know.
know. Well, I was.
Oh,
Go ahead, Hannah. I'm sorry.
Okay, like Dakota was saying, I also said something along the lines of that too. I said, I just wish everything would stop, or someone would put me in a cellar so I stop bleaching my hair and wearing so much makeup and just give my body a break. And I'm getting right.
Yeah, exactly. I actually just like chopped my hair last night.
Woo! Have you been watching those videos where everybody just does their own hair? Everybody's making themselves mullets and all this crazy stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know why mullets are coming back. That's awful.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
No, so I actually took off like 4 inches of hair last night. There's like a big pile of like hair in the corner of my room right now that I haven't swept up yet. But yeah.
Hey, sell it on eBay.
Right? So like, yeah, my hair is like this now.
It looks pretty though. I like it.
So wait, mullets are coming back? When did this start?
Yeah.
Oh my God, like 3 months ago.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I mean, honestly, they tried to make it come back when, what was it? America's Next Top Model, Cycle 22, when Tyra Banks took this girl who had this incredible, like, ass-length hair and gave her a fashion mullet. And I was just like, are you kidding me? That girl had the most amazing hair I've ever seen, and you gave her a mullet? And then, like, 2 episodes later, that girl was kicked off the show. And I'm like, girl, that's not even worth it.
She was jealous.
Seriously, I swear.
I think I saw that Brad Mondo, didn't he do something on that?
Yeah, he like reacts to America's Next Top Model like videos and like transformation videos and stuff, and he'll just be like, girl, why? And I'm just like, yes, exactly. Right? Seriously, why?
You gotta love his quarantine videos. I'm gonna give myself highlights. I'm gonna bleach my hair. He's like, oh no.
Yep. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I've stopped myself from doing is bleaching my hair, because like I was in the middle of a process with my hairstylist where we were lightening my hair, but like also doing like a whole balayage thing. Mm-hmm. And so that a balayage is when it starts out dark at the roots and then turns into color, which I've managed to maintain myself.
Yeah.
But we were in the process of lightening all of my hair underneath, because my hair, I've dyed it using box dyes for like 15 years. And so it's like super just damaged. So we've been like slowly every couple months lightening it a little bit and a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I was supposed to go like right after like the quarantine was like around the time that I would be going down there to like down to San Diego to see her and like lighten my hair. And it just, you know, hasn't happened. So I've been keeping up with the color on my own, but mm-hmm. There's only so much I can do. I'm not trained.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Far be it for me to interrupt you to talking hair, but you were talking about eyebrows before. I didn't. Your eyebrows are always. They're always on point. Dakota, what's the secret to the eyebrows?
So I use the Benefit Goof Proof Brow Pencil. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite thing in the world, and then they just redid it recently so that it's got like a chisel tip, so it makes it so much easier. But my secret and what I was taught was literally just outline and then fill in, and then you just use a brush, which the Benefit has. You just use a brush and like just that makes it a little bit lighter, so it looks a little bit less like clumpy. Mm-hmm. And it's like foolproof. It really is.
So the bearded lady has to thicken her eyebrows.
I do, actually, yeah. As I've gotten older, so I used to have the most amazing Liz Taylor eyebrows. Mm. And as I've gotten older, I've started to lose hair, like right around here. Mm-hmm. And like the arch of my eyebrows. And like through quarantine, all I've really done is pluck like my unibrow a little bit. But, like, not a lot of hair has grown on my eyebrows. And I'm just sort of like, oh, God, do I have, like, alopecia or something? Like, that's the last thing I need.
You know, I have the same problem. I'm like, why does the hair grow in the wrong spot?
Yeah.
Not need it. But I've been putting Rogaine, actually, on the ends of my eyebrows to try to grow them back. And it's working a little bit.
Oh, okay. I saw something on Pinterest, actually, that I was thinking about trying. It's supposed to work for, like, your eyebrows and your lashes. I gotta find out what that was, but it was like, it's like some sort of like oil, and you are supposed to use it. It's like to make your hair healthy, but I figure I'd give it a try, you know?
castor oil?
It might have been, but it seemed like it was like more makeup-y.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably just like rebottled.
For your eyebrows? You bought Rogaine for your eyebrows?
No, I bought it because I have acute alopecia, which was from an incident where someone pulled my hair and like in my back, and I'm getting like, shots and all this crazy stuff done to it, and then get Rogaine as well.
All right, I was going to say, I didn't think eyebrows, I mean, that stuff's pretty expensive. I would think just for the tip of your eyebrows, that wouldn't be worth it, but.
Sorry, what was that, Hannah?
Oh, it's expensive. It was like $60 for a tiny little thing of it, two little tiny things of it.
That's too much. That's crazy.
I wish you would have told me when I had the job, I could have, we had hair regrowth stuff.
Yeah, you got some.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't really want to talk about that. But anyway, Dakota, I was watching a bunch of YouTube stuff from you.
Oh boy,
that I hadn't seen before. No. I'm not gonna talk about that guy. That guy was just ridiculous. But there was one where there were a couple of them. One was you're doing an interview and you said that you felt sexy, and then you qualified it by saying, "I know a lot of people don't want to hear this."
Sorry, can you repeat that? It got a little
jarring. You felt sexy. Yes. And then you qualified it by saying, "I know a lot of people don't like to hear this." Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we want to hear that?
Right.
So when it comes to women with facial hair, there seems to be, and I feel like I've talked about this a little bit in the past on your show, there seems to be people who don't want me to feel good about myself. And it's not just with the facial hair, but being a plus-sized woman, the way that society has built women up and, well, not even built women up, the way that society has torn women down has all been based off of like your figure and what you are supposed to strive for and the ideal of what a woman is supposed to look like. I mean, you see these movies and like they've been going on for like forever where it's like, you know, you take a girl and she's like kind of like, you know, bigger and like she's miserable. She's like, she seems happy, but she's miserable because like she can't find a guy and like she's happy with her life, but then she just like decides to turn around and completely change everything about herself, including and like most importantly her weight, and then she's able to find a guy and that is the most happy she'll ever be. And it's kind of gross. Like, no, it's not even kind of gross, I take that back, it's disgusting. Like, we need to be teaching women to like feel empowered the way that they are, and that's something that I try to do with the way that I am. Like, I feel empowered every single day by making the decision to grow out my beard and to be happy with myself the way that I am. Mm-hmm. Have I lost weight recently? Yes. Was that on purpose? No. I was just trying to beat the COVID boredom and swimming a lot, and I ended up losing like 12 pounds. So yay, but great. I don't really care. Like, okay. No, but,
well, I've said this, and we have BBW models all the time. There is a fetish.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
Women, women that really appreciate a larger woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue the same is not true about men.
I don't agree with that, because I personally prefer guys who are, like, a little bit bigger.
Nice. I have girlfriends like that, too. They said they like their teddy bear men. They love them.
Well, yeah. Where are these girls? I've never met them, and this is the first I'm hearing about from Dakota.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I mean, you know, I see these, like, skinny dudes, and I'm just like, I would break you. Like, if I sat on your face, I would break your face. I don't want to do that. Like, no, I don't. That's not what I need to be worrying about when I'm having sex. What I need to be worrying about is whether or not I'm going to come.
Is a skinny man's face less durable than a big man's face?
Well, I think that like a skinny man's hips are less durable, and I don't know about their face, but you know.
All right, Hannah.
Agreed.
Break their neck, you know, like I don't know.
Yeah, you think it's a neck thing? You think you'd have a? Mm-hmm. So yeah, because it's a, you know, there's a whole, we had Alexis Allure, BBW porn star, and I mean, I and it's actually the number one YouTube video I have exponentially at about 500,000 views is the BBW con.
That's great. I love that.
And I mean, I know so many people that really appreciate larger women. And so I know the movies that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, men don't go to these movies. Or men go to these movies dragged by their girlfriend. They don't care.
No, I know, but the thing is that it's the women that care, and it's the women that I feel bad about, but it's also the women who attack me for looking the way that I do.
They do?
I joined TikTok.
I'll take care of them right now.
I joined TikTok, and yeah, I love TikTok, by the way. I've got almost 5,000 followers on there now. Great. I'm having fun on TikTok. It's a fun time. Weirdly enough, one of my videos hit 600,000 views the other day, and I'm like, why? It was the stupidest video I've ever recorded.
I was salty
because my dad put the pool cover on, and I go swimming every day, and I was just like, okay, well, apparently I'm banned from the swimming pool, so this is what I have to say to that. And I just stuck my foot in the pool. It was it's the stupidest video ever, and that's got 600,000 views, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, what other, because I haven't seen TikTok. I mean, I've seen the dances. I've seen a few things.
Mm-hmm.
What other videos do you put on TikTok?
So I did a video where I told you about this. Before quarantine, I was very pale. And I know that I look very pale in this lighting right now, but I don't know what I can do about that. That's just lighting for me. But I'm actually extremely tan right now. It's the tannest I've been in 15 years, and I'm Native American, so I tan really easily, but I also worked in an office and a bar for a long time. So I just was never outside.
Right.
But I realized after 7 days of being in the pool, I took a little bit of foundation and put it on my face. And I was just like, look at this. It's so white. What the hell? What happened to me?
Yeah.
And that video got 48,000 views. And then I got a shit ton of comments calling me gross and all this stuff. But it was really funny. Was one of the women on there. And this is another thing that not a lot of people know about me. I can find anybody on social media. And it's this weird superpower that I have. I had a friend who was like, hey, I've been trying to find this pen pal that I had a million years ago. All I know is their first name and what state they're from. And I was able to go through social media and find that person in 45 minutes and send them a screenshot of the page. And I was like, is this them? And they were like, holy crap, ow. I'm just it's really not that hard. And so I had this one troll who was going on my page, and she was saying the most rude negative things, and not just to me, but to people who were commenting too, and saying I love your look. And she would just go and be like, you're disgusting, you're the F word. And I was just like, excuse me, no one's gonna come on my page and call people the F word. So I went and I went on her page, and she has her real name on there. So I went on social media and I found her. And so the next time she commented something, I was like, I really hope that not everybody from this small town in North Carolina or whatever acts like you, because if they do, you know, it'd be really sad if someone were to send all these screenshots to everybody on your friends list. And I haven't heard from them since. So it's been kind of funny.
Nasty, nasty. I have had people be nasty to me online too. It's really?
Yeah, it's so gross. It's
especially
so gross.
Men.
I have some men, but mostly it's women who think that I'm the butt of a joke. And I'm just here's the really funny thing is you guys are actually the joke, and I'm just laughing at you. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
I guess I harassed you, Hannah, online. That's awful.
I made a video a couple years ago because this YouTuber came out, my pale skin blog, about I feel ugly, and she had made a video about all the hate she received about her acne and how she would cover it. And I came out and I talked a little bit about my skin condition and how hurtful it is. And months later, I guess this girl was trolling my page. She went and said, oh, you're a crybaby. You want attention. You're ugly anyway. No amount of makeup can fix you. And I made my account private. I mean, it was awful.
That's so horrible. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. That's awful.
Yeah, I just get ignored. Nobody really has the passion to come at me. And I get a couple negative things here and there. I got a couple negative YouTube comments last year, but whatever. you know, at least they're watching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, why at is least they're talking about you. Transvestite and all this other stuff. I'm like, yeah, there I go.
Yeah.
But it's getting better, but it's just awful that people just have no tolerance for, you know.
There's some, like, 12-year-old on TikTok who was, like, he said, he, like, made some comment and was, like, if you have a beard, you're a guy. And I was, like, you don't have a beard. Does that make you a woman? And, like, some other dude, like, came on and was, like, that's not how that works because beards are for men and blah, 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 blah. And I was just, like, I have a beard. I am a woman. And he was just, like, no, because beards are for guys. And I was, like, I grow in better than you. You're 10. Shut up. I'm going to tell your parents.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's what you're going to get on TikTok is 12-year-old haters.
Kids. These fucking kids.
No, he can Google it.
Well, no, I mean, I can't believe, I mean, everybody knows somebody, some lady with facial hair, with your mother, whatever. I mean,
I have a mustache. I can go grow my full Italian mustache.
Sure. Yeah, right? Seriously.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a little bit of facial hair?
Yeah.
So, except for those little kids that are yelling at us on social media.
Yeah, no, they can't grow a mustache. They can't grow a beard. But I had a mustache for 3 days. It didn't look good. That wasn't a look for me.
Although get much of one, it's like slowly creeping its way up.
It's good with the beard, but it's not. Yeah. What were you going
to
say?
It's starting to connect, actually.
Grandpa liked your mustache. He thought you looked good.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's Grandpa. Everybody else said I look like Captain Kangaroo or Ron Jeremy, and neither one of those. I'll take Captain Kangaroo.
I was going to say, especially with what's going on with Ron Jeremy right now. Yeah, you know?
If I have a choice of the two, but yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah,
I've never had a mustache my entire life, so I was like, I'll rock it for a couple days, and then that was about it.
You need the bowl cut to be Captain Kangaroo.
Well, I kind of did have the bowl cut before I cut my hair. I hadn't cut it in like 4 months, and it was getting like that. It was pretty bad.
Oh man, that would have been so good. I wish you had posted a picture of yourself.
Oh, like, I did. I'll send you the picture. Yeah.
Oh my god! Yay.
And people, you know, I haven't dyed my hair since, and I actually was going a different way right before the COVID hit. I was dyeing it silver.
Oh, neat.
And then, so I bleached all the black out of my hair. And so this is kind of my natural color, a little bleached out. And then people are like, I didn't know you were blonde. And then, you know, why did you dye your hair black when you got this great blonde brown sort of thing? And it was like, I don't know. I thought it looked better, but you know, so we'll see.
Blonde comedian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so. Yeah, exactly. Well, that was part. Well, I was doing that before the goth comedian thing. Actually, my ex-girlfriend did it. Just, she was goth, and she started dyeing my hair, and so that's and I liked it. So that's how that happened. So, and then there was another one where you did a show with our friend Dangerous D. It was about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I guess it was like at the Palladium with Ozzy and Corey Taylor did a thing, and. They had these guys from KLOS interviewing you.
Oh God, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I had the same reaction when I was watching it. I was so embarrassed.
I was so pissed about that. That was the most unprofessional fucking interview I've ever done in my life.
It was
and
bad.
Like, I've been interviewed on Fox fucking News, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I've been on Fox News and like, or a Fox affiliate, but still, it's Fox, and like. The KLOS interview, I still think about that sometimes. I'm like, God, I just want to hit that fucking interviewer in the face with a friggin' machete. Like, and I have one, but...
Doesn't surprise me.
So, this guy, like, in the interview, he's, like, asking me questions and stuff, and I'm like, whatever, that's fine. And then he asks me to kiss him, I think. And I said no, and then he asked me to, like, kiss one of their, like...
Oh, yeah, one of the...
Interns or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm, no. And, like, he was, like, really pushing. So I gave the guy a kiss on the cheek. And then, like, it was, like, this huge, like, joke and everything. And I was just like, I really am not happy with how this went. This was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, even he was with a female, and she was I guess they were a team, and she the whole time she looked totally embarrassed and mortified.
Yeah, well, it was.
She looked it too, but she didn't stop him. But he was just
no. When you're in that position with like a guy who's like calling the shots kind of situation, like I understand it's harder and everything. And like, you know, it was before like all the like hashtag Me Too and everything. Like this was God, I wanna say this was like 2014.
Yeah, so it was 5 or 6 years ago, but
yeah, it was like 2014, 2015-ish. And like, you know, you would think like you wouldn't think that would happen to me too often, but actually that happens to me quite a bit where people are like, will you kiss my friend? Will you kiss me? And I'm just like, it got to a point where I would just be like, can I have $20? And they'd be like, what? What? And I'm just like, well, then why should I kiss you? You're not, it doesn't do anything for me. This is all for you. So I should at least get something out of it because trust me, I don't have any interest in like putting my face against yours. It's disgusting.
Why do you think
I'm disgusting? I'm like, yeah, you really are.
Do you think because you're the bearded lady or just because you're a lady? I mean, what do you think that is?
I think it's the bearded lady. I think it's a lot of like, you know, ooh, he got kissed by a bearded lady, like kind of situation. Like they always want to take a picture, like a video of it or something. And I'm always just like, I'm good. It's not going to do anything for my career. And all it is going to make you look, you know, funny or edgy or whatever. So, you know, it doesn't do anything for me. So, no, I'm good.
Yeah, that guy looked neither. And he had that DJ voice, like, hey, we're here with the bearded lady. Hey, I noticed you have a beard. It's like, oh, Jesus, what kind of interview is this?
It was a goddamn travesty of an interview. It was the most, I can't even think of the word right now. Like, it was the most, like, amateur shit show that I have ever been a part of. With that situation, like that interview was the most amateur piece of crap that I was ever a part of. And I was still fairly new at Sideshow and fairly like, that was one of the first gigs that I did after leaving Venice Beach. Mm-hmm. And like,
and it's a good gig. You're there at the Palladium. It's Ozzy, it's Corey Taylor. That's
yeah.
The gig sounds great. The interview
the gig
sounds
was horrible. Awesome. The gig was so cool. I'm on Ozzy's Instagram because of that.
That's like
there's literally a picture of me on Ozzy Osbourne's Instagram, and I did Ozfest meets Not Fest at the request of Sharon Osbourne, who saw the picture of me posted on Ozzy's Instagram.
That's right. Did you meet her at that Ozfest meets Not Fest? Or were you?
I'm sorry?
I was wondering if Hannah saw you at that one because I know that's where she saw Dangerous D for the first time.
I mean, you must have seen me because I was there all weekend.
Maybe, yeah.
I was wearing a top hat. Actually, I have it like literally right there.
there's like 3 or 4 guests I brought in, and like about halfway through the show, Hannah would be like, "Wait a second, I know you!" And it, like when first time we had Dangerous D, it was like, "Wait, yeah, you did Knotfest," and yeah, so
yeah, we were up on the top of the hill at that festival ground in San Bernardino, and mm-hmm. We were like all the way at the top of the hill. For like 2 days, we had to camp on site. It was a lot. I got part of like a pine cone stuck in my foot or something. It was really weird.
Oh!
Yeah.
So you had to camp at the site?
It was like we had to camp at site. Yeah. There was a place, there was like a little lake, like really close, like a little ways away from where we were like set up. So they had to like take us in like these little golf carts to and from like where we were camping, and it was a lot. It was an intense weekend.
Yeah, the pine cone.
It was fun. It was fun. How many people can say that they did that? You know, aside from the 40 Sideshow people that were there. You know, not many.
That had to be quite a bonfire around the campsite.
I don't remember if we were even allowed to do bonfires. I don't remember, honestly.
Those stories must have been really good.
It was fun, though. Like, I had a really good time. I met a lot of really cool people. Like, I still talk to some of them today. And, like, it was just a really fun time. I still have – so it was a really funny thing. As like, day one, they took like 4 of us to the main gates to, like, entertain people at the gates mm-hmm. before they were able to get in. And you weren't allowed to bring lighters in – So like everybody was just giving me their lighters in line. I was wearing this like loose corset, so I was able to just shove lighters down my corset. And I ended up with like at least 15 to 20 lighters. So anytime one of the sideshow people needed a lighter, I was like, I got one. Like, and then I ended up with like a canteen that someone wasn't allowed to bring in, which I still have. And that corset was so loose, I was actually able to fit it in too. I got like underneath one boob, and then I had like a water bottle underneath the other one, and like a handful of lighters down the middle. And I was just like walking back to the little golf cart that came to pick us up a few hours later. I'm just like, clunk, 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 clunk. Like all the stuff that I got from people who weren't allowed to bring it in. It was really funny.
Well, speaking of Danger C, he actually, for Hannah's birthday this year, he taught her how to blow fireballs.
Oh, cool.
You ever do that because of the beard or not?
So I haven't learned yet. That is something that I want to do eventually, but I actually have I'm very nervous around fire. I had an incident with a fire performer who actually set my hair on fire one time.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I already was nervous around fire, but it was when I was working at the old Beetle House location. I was going off stage, and this performer had been told multiple times not to continue doing this act, and she insisted on still doing it. And as I'm walking off stage, she hit me with a fireball. Oh. And like it singed my hair, and I could feel my hair like starting to catch. So I like grabbed the handful of my hair, just pulled down really fast, and like smothered the flame. And I like ran backstage, and I'm like, oh my God, is my hair on fire? And all the performers back there are like, what? And I'm like, is my hair on fire? And they were like, no. I'm like, all right, I gotta go do fire safety. So I had to sit out there doing fire safety for her. And like, it was just really, really scary. And like, that was, you know, like the second time I had to give myself my own haircut. And like, after that, she was like sitting there and she's like, it's totally normal. This happens all the time. I'm like, this doesn't happen to me all the time. Like, you need to like acknowledge that, like, that actually really scared me. And she's like, well, you're overreacting. And I'm just like, I will never work with you again. And it happened.
What about, I'm sorry, are you okay?
Yeah, no, none of that. None of that. It was all defensive and aggressive, and I was just sort of like, I'm not interested in ever working with you again.
Right.
I'm sorry.
All right, well, you've got so many things that you do, you don't have to do fire. Yeah. You've expanded, now you're doing a true crime podcast. Now, how did this come about? And I know Hannah's all into true crime, so this right up her alley.
So, yeah. You know the show Drunk History?
Yeah.
So I was drunk, laying in bed, like, the first month of quarantine, and I'm, like, watching Drunk History episodes. Drunk. And then I was like, ooh, you know, I bet they did a really great episode is, like, Charles Manson. So I start looking for that, and they don't have it. And I'm like, okay, well, what about John Wayne Gacy? So I look for that, and they don't have it. I'm like, Richard Speck? And I, like, look for that. Nothing. I'm, like, looking for all these serial killers, and they don't have any of it. And I'm just like, what is going on? Okay, obviously, like, there's a market for drunk true crime history. So the next night, I got drunk and went on Facebook Live and just started talking about Charles Manson and the history of the Manson family. And I got a bunch of people watching. And so the night after that, I did something else. I think I did John Wayne Gacy or something. And that night, it may not have been, like, the next, I don't know. I don't remember, but I was really drunk. But I, you know, a couple nights go by and everything, and my videos are public. Somebody shared one of my videos to a trolling group. And so I got something like 800 people in the video at one time, just overloading me with comments and just being trolls. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? And so then a couple people like reached out to me from that trolling group, and they were like, hey, look, like, I love true crime, and like, I think it's really shitty that that people like did this to you. And if you make a private group, like, they won't be able to share your videos, and people will still be able to get like the true crime that they want to see. And if you do that, like, I would love to like watch your show, because like, it really seems like you know what you're talking about, and it really seems like you are really interested in this. And I was like, okay, I'll try that out. So I made a private group, and we're at almost 400 followers now in the group. Okay. And I was doing it every night, but that just kind of got to be a lot for me. Not just like, not just because like I had to be at home every night, like drinking and talking about this stuff, but like mentally, it's a lot.
No, I know. Like, trust me, I know.
You go through talking about these horrible things and like these horrible people, and like a lot of them are like very mentally ill and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I feel sorry for you, but like that doesn't excuse the things that you've done.
So why do you have a fascination with it?
I don't know why I have a fascination with it. I just know that I've had a fascination with it since I was at least like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My dad used to let me watch like Medium, or my stepdad let me watch Medium, and I really liked that show. And then, I don't know, it's just kind of always been like a part of my life is like this interest. And so I've been interested in it, and I've listened to like podcasts, and like, I have a really deep fascination with cults. One of my favorite places is the Museum of Death.
Right.
And I took forensic science in high school. I'm taking a criminal psychology course right now, actually. And it's just a really interesting topic. And like the idea of like people who are able to separate themselves so much from the rest of society that there's like a few societal rules that like everybody follows. But serial killers tend to break all of the rules. It's a level of anarchy that, like, you really shouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me. And I find it really interesting to, like, learn what pushes a person to this point and, like, what makes them want to completely and utterly destroy another human being. Like, mm-hmm. What gets you to that point? And so I focus a lot on like, you know, I try to focus a lot on like their childhood and their upbringing and their past and like what the hell went wrong with them. And there's what's called the McDonald triad when it comes to serial killers. It's a triangle. And basically,
is
like,
in it or,
huh?
I said, is the grimace in the triad or yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So it's a triangle, and it's like the three things that a lot of serial killers have in common. It's animal abuse, setting fires, and I think wetting the bed.
Okay.
And so it's like these three things a lot of serial killers have described as being a part of their early lives. And it's just like really interesting to me because like you look at someone like David Berkowitz, who was the son of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He killed a ton of people, but he also, and this is less known, he was an arsonist. And, like, not a lot of people know that about him. And, like, he set hundreds of fires throughout New York in the 1960s and 70s.
Before he was killing people or during?
Before and during.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, you look at, like, Dahmer. He was fascinated with animal bones.
Yeah.
Like, he collected bones, and like it's like a really weird thing. Or like BTK, he used to torture cats. Like these people, they have so much in common. But another thing that they all have in common, this is why I've been like kind of pushing in my show, like there needs to be more than just like a triangle. It needs to be a square, because a lot of them have head injuries, and like there's something That's about it. A head injury.
Is that so? Who had a head injury?
Ramirez had a head injury. He had two, actually. He had a dresser fall on top of him when he was a kid, and it like gave him a really bad head injury, a really bad concussion. And then he had a swing like smash into him like so hard that it like knocked him out, and like he had to get stitches for it. And he was like 5 at the time, and then 3 when the dresser fell on him. I say as I point to my dresser, like, you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, like my dresser. I'm like, yeah, a dresser. I'm like, oh yeah, they definitely know what you're pointing at, Dakota. Good job. And then, oh gosh, who was it?
Well, Ramirez is Hannah's favorite serial killer.
Yeah.
So metal, so cute. Right, Hannah?
Yeah. And I love Dahmer.
Dahmer.
And Bundy was cute. Bundy?
Cute. Zach played Bundy was cute.
Yeah. Here's a really interesting little side note about that. The guy who played Dahmer and Zac Efron, they were both in, like, Disney Channel movies. And the kid that played Dahmer in My Friend Dahmer. Right. And so, like, I posted a fan video and about, like, you know, from, like, My Friend Dahmer in my group. And I was like, oh, my God, have you guys seen this? This is, like, incredible. And a couple of the people in it were like, oh, my God, that's Ross Lynch. He was in, like, Disney Channel movies. And I was like, that's so weird. It's just, like, this weird thing where, like, apparently Disney Channel stars are now just turning around and playing serial killers.
You gotta do it. Yeah, I mean, you have to do something. I haven't seen My Friend Dahmer yet. I've seen the Carl Crew Dahmer movie. I've seen the Jeremy Renner Dahmer movie. So, which one is your favorite Dahmer?
I like My Friend Dahmer. I just watched it on Amazon Prime. I thought it was really well done. And it's available on Amazon Prime. So
yeah, no, I've seen it. I just haven't. I was like, I saw two Dahmer movies. Do I really need to see a third?
No.
Yes, I do.
I think you do.
This is like how I feel about it. And I don't want you guys to think I'm weird. No. But I had at least three different showings at my house of it. I'm like, you guys are going to feel different about Jeffrey Dahmer after you watch this film. They're like, oh, bullshit. He's crazy. I go, no. I said, he was screaming out for help, for attention, and for love in his youth. And everybody
He really was. And I totally understand what you're saying about that. So the thing with Jeffrey Dahmer and what he did with people was, but like, it's not only that though. Hannah, you have to admit, Jeffrey Dahmer was an incredibly selfish person. He wanted someone that was going to take care of all of his needs, but he didn't want to put in the work to take care of other people's needs, which is why he would pour boiling water into their skulls to try and turn them into a zombie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was screaming out for that when I was a kid, too.
He wanted to be loved. He wanted to be loved desperately. But he didn't want to have to put in any of the effort to, like, have a functional relationship. Mm-hmm. He was an incredibly selfish person. And, you know, I do understand where you're coming from. But also, like, he was horribly selfish. And, yeah, he was crying out for help when he was younger. But, and, like, he had a really shitty, like, life. Like how his mom and his brother just like left him in the home alone and moved to a different state. And then his dad comes back and he's like, where's your family? And he's just like, I don't know, they left. And he's just like, what? Like his family tried to take care of him. They really did. But I feel like there was a lot of undiagnosed mental issues going on. And this is very, very common for the time. There was a lot of mental health issues that were going on that people weren't taking care of. Like Richard Chase, he had paranoid schizophrenia, and his dad tried to help him. His mother pulled him out of the mental hospital, weaned him off of his drugs because she was like, he doesn't need them, he's fine. Because she wanted him to be around and didn't want him to be in a mental hospital, and he was doing better. And then he turned around and killed a crap ton of people and drank smoothies made out of animal parts. It's disgusting.
Yeah, see, that's I think that's the side. He wasn't vegan. That was probably the worst part. But now, why is it? And this is me as a troubled white man that I am. Why is it predominantly white men that are serial killers? I mean, other than Eileen Warnos and the Atlanta. And a couple other people that you don't see people of color. Ramirez, but it's mainly white guys, and it's not women for some reason.
There are some women. I mean, Eileen, like you mentioned, Eileen Warnos, Dorothea Puente. She was there. We're actually finishing our conversation on Elizabeth Bathory tonight on our show. And she is actually from the 1500s and the 1600s in. Yeah, Hungary.
Yeah.
And she has a rumored kill count of about 650. Of course, that can't be corroborated because it was back then. And also, like, the the crown owed money to her family for like keeping them afloat during like the hard times. And so, you know, there's a good possibility that a lot of that was just like the crown making things up to like, you know, she was a countess. And like, if she was really doing the things that she was doing, she could have gotten away with it if the crown decided not to prosecute, but they prosecuted because they owed her money. And it's just another sign of systematic sexism, in my opinion. But I don't think that she killed as many people as she did.
So you go way back, you know, it's not just the...
This is the oldest one that we've done to date.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
There are some women that do some crazy things. Like, I listened to a podcast by Rob Dyke and Hannibal. And I can't remember her name. And I think this happened in the 80s where she wasn't getting what she wanted. She wanted to marry her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. And
she cooked him up, killed him, and set out plates for his kids to come home and eat dinner.
Oh, yeah, in Australia. Oh, gosh, what was her name? Oh, my God. I know who you're talking about. I haven't done an episode on her yet, but she's really interesting. That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, gosh, what was her name? I'm going to find this because it's going to bother me. Catherine Knight.
Yes.
Yeah. Catherine Knight. Yeah. She was crazy. And not only did she kill him, but she completely skinned him so perfectly that they could still recognize his face when they found his skin hanging in the doorway. And like the cops entered the home. And this is really interesting to me. The cops entered the home and they walk in and they push aside this curtain, like going into the living room. And they see this body. They see like part of a body sitting on a chair. And they're like, what the fuck? There's no skin on that. And then one of the cops looks at what he's touching. And it's the completely full skinned body of her boyfriend hanging in the doorway because they worked at a slaughterhouse. They worked there together. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like they had broken up and she managed to convince him, like, let's have one more meal together. And so he's like, okay, yeah. Goes to have one more meal with her and she fucking kills him. And then skins him like the pigs that she skinned working in the slaughterhouse. But to answer your question, Mark, about why there's more male serial killers than women, it's because the male serial killers are the ones who get caught.
Yeah, that's I was waiting for that. I thought that might be the answer.
They're the ones that get caught. Women serial killers can go on a lot longer than males can because they don't feel the need to brag or talk about what they've done. I mean, you know, Eileen was caught from like, you know, dumb luck really that caught Eileen. But like, you know, with a lot of these women that aren't Catherine Knight, they can go on doing this for a very, very long time and never feel the need to like say anything about it. They're not going to be a Dennis Rader. They're not going to be like a Unabomber. They're not going to be a Zodiac and send messages saying, hey, like, this is what I did and this is why. They're going to stay under the radar. They're not going to talk about it. Women can compartmentalize a lot better than men can. And I'm not saying that to be like sexist, like, ooh, women can just not think about it better than men can. But like men in general have a tendency to want to brag more about the things that they've done and gotten away with. There's like, if you've ever hung out with like a college kid, like a frat dude, and like they sit there and talk about all the times that they've gotten away with like doing like, you know, 85, 90 in front of a cop and like not gotten pulled over and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, and there's a lot of that. And the thing is like, a lot of these people are very immature. Like, these serial killers are very immature people. Yeah.
So they don't have a lot of impulse control.
They really don't. A lot of the serial killers don't have any impulse control. I mean, you know, you look at, like, Hannah's favorite, Richard Ramirez, and he would just decide at the drop of a hat, like, I'm going to just go kill these people that I saw walking around. And so he just, like, goes and kills them.
Why do women find them so sexy? Because I know that Manson had people trying to marry him. Ramirez had so many women that wanted to be with him. Ted Bundy, you know, postmortem is successful again.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the ultimate bad boy, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know if it's so much the ultimate bad boy. I think that, like, I mean, maybe the ultimate bad boy, but that was not.
I mean, I know that you're gender fluid. You're into everything, but
I'm not gender fluid. I'm sexually fluid.
You're sexually fluid. Excuse
yeah,
me.
I'm into everything.
I always say the wrong thing, so I should preface that.
Yeah. So the thing with the serial killers and why women find them so interesting. Look, I will admit, I too find them very interesting, but not in a sexual way.
Okay.
A lot of these people have committed sex crimes, and as I am a victim of a sex crime on two counts, possibly three, but it's just, I think that there's a level of like, well, there's a level of like somewhat desperation with these women. And I think that they see some of themselves in these people, but I think that there's also a level of like, they will be willing to settle for someone like me now because they're in prison and who else is going to want them? And like, if I show, but it's also a little bit of like, I don't want to like attack my own gender that way, but like, there's also a level of like being close to greatness. It's like, you see these people who are like, oh, I'm friends with like a celebrity, or like, I've met the celebrity and we would be such great friends and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you see these people and they want to like touch greatness. And they want to like be close to these historical moments. And serial killers, because of who we are as a society, are these historic figures and these almost like rock star type figures.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to be close to that, and they want to like have a taste of that themselves. And they want to like, just be close to like greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Is the thing, and that's the number one reason why I think that women, and you know, women believe like, oh well, my husband killed all these women but he never wanted to kill me, like, you know, that kind of thing. With Charles Manson though, it was a lot of drugs. Like, I do have to say that it was a lot of drugs. Charlie would do this thing where he would give everybody two tabs of acid and he would take a half a tab himself, so everybody tripping the fuck out. And then, you know, they would be like tripping the fuck out and he'd be like, you know, having a like nice little mellow trip, you know, and they'd be like, what the fuck? And he'd be like, I'm Jesus. And they're like, oh my God, Charlie's Jesus. Cause like, you know, they're super fucked up. And he's like, I'm going to just like roll with it and make them think I'm Jesus.
But yeah, he has the hair, he has the beard. Why not?
Yeah, right. I actually have something that belonged to Charles Manson. Would you like to see it?
Yes, please.
Well, yeah, I know Hannah would love it.
It's like right next to my desk. Let me go grab it.
And we got to figure out where you got this.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a follow up with Dakota and Mia Mars talking about serial killers all the time.
That would be fun.
What do you guys think?
This candlestick holder used to belong to Charles Manson.
Wow!
Isn't that crazy?
And how did you come across this?
So my dad owns a record store in Thousand Oaks. It's called Record Outlet. It's awesome. It's been there for 25 years now. And
is it open again now?
Yeah, it's open again now. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, it's open every day except maybe Sunday. I don't really know. But they're open from Sunday they are open. They're open from noon to 5 on Sundays. And then the rest of the week, they're open from 11 to 5 right now, just COVID hours. So my dad owns this record store. And like 20-ish years or so ago, this guy comes into the record store and he's got like a box of records and he's got like some other stuff in it. And my dad looks through the records and he's like, whatever. And he like looks at the stuff and he goes, all right, what's the deal with some of this stuff? And the guy goes, well, for instance, this. He was a kid in the 60s and he grew up in Simi Valley and he would hike back to these caves. And one day he gets back there and there's like, he and his friends get back there and there's all these hippies in the caves. And they start like yelling at him and his friends, and they're like, get out of here, get out of here. And so they're like, oh fuck, all right, let's get out of here. It's like adult hippies, like, let's get out of here. And so they leave. And then a couple weeks later, he's watching TV with his dad, and the news comes on, and it was the day after Charles Manson was arrested for the murder of Sharon Tate. And he's like, holy crap, that's that hippie guy from the caves. And so he and his friends went back and they stole a bunch of stuff. And this happened to be one of them, one of the things. Wow. And so this was in a display case for like many years. And I read Helter Skelter when I was like 13. And I went out and I took it out of the display case and I brought it into my room. And then it just never made it back out of my room. And then like 3 years later, my dad walks into my room and he's like talking to me. He turns around and he sees it like sitting on like my altar. And he's like, oh, did you take that? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, you can have it. Just like walks out of the room. And I was just like, sweet. So it's been mine ever since. I've had it for 12 years now. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I've had it for 12 years now. Been in my hands. And I keep it next to one of my Charles Manson books, actually.
You hear the envy in excuse me, you hear the envy in Hannah's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I smudge it every 6 months, too, just to make sure that, you know, the energy stays okay, especially after Charlie died, you know.
Well, he's making a big comeback now. I can't tell you how many people, so once upon a time in Hollywood, then come up to me, they had no idea about Manson. I had to explain everything.
Really?
To them. Huh. Are you surprised?
That's funny. I had no idea. Like, I mean, you know, you got to explain, that it, you really have to, explain to them that it didn't really happen that way, right? Because...
Well, that's the thing. I got to explain. No, that, and then I know somebody once saw the movie and... the guy who played Charles Manson, like, you know, he's in there for like a minute. I'm like, oh no, that's supposed to be Charles Manson. It's like, oh, I was like, oh, I thought it was self-explanatory, but yeah, I'm educating people on, but you're educating people on much more obscure serial killer stuff in true crime. And I wish we had more time.
To talk,
and we got to do this soon. I have a few friends that are definitely experts and interested in the subject, and I'd like to do a show with you and them soon.
Love that.
And but you know, I the sexually fluid and sexy,
very sexy,
yes. So I was gonna say pansexual, but I don't know if that describes it.
It is, yeah. Okay. I'm pansexual, yeah.
Because I feel bad for bisexuals, because it's like that's so prudish now. So
passive. Well, bisexual, you know, like it's like, you know, you pick one gender or the other, like, you know, like,
yeah, but, I mean, you're attracted to
men and women, but I'm attracted to all the genders.
Right, but when you're bisexual, it's like it used to be like, ooh, you like men and women. Now it's like, ew, you only like two genders? There's so many out there.
But. I get what you're saying. I totally get it. Because when I first came out when I was 13, I came out as bisexual. And then I feel like a lot of people who like came out as bisexual are really pansexual, because the vocabulary changes and evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I think everybody's pansexual to a degree.
I think so too. But there's plenty of people who are, like, they claim to be very strictly homosexual or heterosexual. And, right. You know, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Like, as long as what you're into is legal, then go for it. Otherwise, I will be covering you on my show.
And, you know, so many people are doing things that are not legal and thankfully getting caught for it. But we'll leave it there. Dakota, it's such a pleasure. And Grandpa's going to be so delighted.
So,
tell us once again about your podcast, how people can listen to it, how people can check you out and get into your Facebook group and everything.
So my podcast is called Chardon Hay True Crime. You can check it out on Facebook right now, but we are actually making the move to make it available on Spotify and Apple. We're just being slow about it. We just we're trying to build up a lot of content before we make that switch.
Okay.
So you are gonna find it. There's a Facebook fan page, Chardon Hay True Crime. That's Chardon HAAAY True Crime, and you can find our fan page, and then from there you can find our Facebook group. We also have a website, ChardonHayTrueCrime.com. You can go through there and find our group on there. There's a link where you can join the group. You can join the discussion. It's a lot of fun. We share things in there daily. We talk about different things. When I'm doing a show, sometimes I'll like post a picture of like a reference. I'm working on getting another monitor so that I can like put up pictures of things while I'm talking. I think that would be really helpful, but you can check it out on there. We've got a Instagram, Chardon Hay True Crime on Instagram. Just come check out the show. It's a lot of fun. It's a great discussion. I answer questions on air. Like, we have a good time. I get drunk. So does my co-host, and we just have fun and make fun of serial killers.
That's awesome. I'm
definitely following that. Hannah's definitely following that.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah,
I will send you the link like after the show is over. Yeah,
because I'm not on Facebook right now, so I'm gonna go find your Instagram.
Oh, okay, cool. You can't watch the show through there, but
yeah, because I am a member of your Facebook group.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I thought you were.
And you're gonna be performing hopefully soon. Dakota the Bearded Lady.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I hope you're performing soon too, because you know, like.
Hopefully, we'll be performing together very soon.
Yes.
Hannah, how much will you give her for the Charles Manson candle?
It's not for sale.
Oh no! That's not something you. That's gonna stay in her family forever. That's. Yeah.
I'm gonna be buried in that.
That's not something you do.
That's precious. Listen, you don't ask for that.
I will either donate it to the Museum of Death upon my death, along with, you know, maybe some of my stuff, because who knows where I'll be at that point.
Don't give any serial killers any ideas.
Or I will be buried with it.
I think you should be buried with it.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not for a long time to come.
Not for a long time, exactly.
Yeah. Dakota, how much was your father selling it for?
Oh, he wasn't selling it.
Oh, he just...
No. He bought it from the guy, and then it was just in, like, a display case in our house for, like, years until I grabbed it and just basically appropriated it for myself.
Well, Dakota, you are a joy. We love having you. This is all we're doing. We're probably have you on every month for the next few months.
I love it.
That would be cool. I would love that. Yeah, then we can you can go through. We can talk about different serial killers.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
And Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram.
Yes.
You'll be on Facebook in a couple days, but she's taking a break right now. And Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody, once again, we're 20 minutes over, but that's because the conversation is so good. Well, a creepy week. Bye.
Bye, guys.